This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.
Deep South Dining is the show all about the culture of Southern flavor, from fried chicken and collard greens to shrimp and grits and a glass of sweet tea. Subscribe now to the podcast using any podcast app or download our MPB Public Media app.
From MPB Think Radio, this is Fix It 101, the home improvement show to help you do it yourself. I'm Lacey Alexander here with Pam Pybus, ASHI certified inspector at Inspect It Like a Girl, and licensed contractor Jeff Salmons from Houseworks. Happy home show to all who celebrate. We are live at the Clyde Muse Center today. Home and garden shows are always a great place to find home improvement inspiration and the certified builder to help with that project. The three of us are here to enjoy all of the booths and vendors that are available and talk about home improvements on a Saturday, one of the few times we'll take calls on a Saturday. Also, we're here for any home improvement or DIY questions you may have during this spring season. Send an email to fixit101 at mpbonline.org. Like we've said so many times, we are at the home show. It will be open to the public at 10 this morning, today, and tomorrow. Come on down, see some vendors, meet some new people. Hello, Jeff. Hello, Pam. And y'all would not believe it. We set up this table. We got ready to go. And Jason Klein just came in here and said, I demand to be on the show today. I said, right. You're not doing this without me.
That's exactly how I felt. Right.
That sounds just like Jason.
Everyone, please welcome former host Jason Klein.
Hey.
Who we refuse to let leave.
Right. You said earlier that there were lots of things to look at. And what did you call these things, these tables and stuff?
Booths.
Okay. I thought you said bruise.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's too booth. Early. It's too yeah. early for bruise.
And listen, right, it's yeah. a Saturday morning. Lay off us.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
I had to have an extra cup of coffee to get out this
That's
early.
That's right.
It's my sleeping in day, folks.
I know.
And I just wasn't able to do that this morning.
Well, you know who else did not sleep in today is our lovely audience. We've got a few MPB yeah. supporters today.
Thanks for coming out.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. We're going to take crowd questions later in the show, but first of all, Jason, Pam, and Jeff, tell us why shows like this, events like this, are so important for Mississippians.
Well, it's an opportunity for you to come out and meet face-to-face with folks.
Sure.
I've been coming to these shows since I was a teenager. My dad would set up back down at the Trademark back in the day.
And yep.
That was that. Back in the day, actually.
It was.
It was a long, long time. He was building log houses. He would build a little log house, and folks would come by and talk to us about
log houses.
Yeah, about log houses. And I got that's how I got trained up in being an inspector. Basically, Daddy was a contractor, so shout out to him. And, man, my mom and I, we would help my father for a minute, and then we'd grab our bag and go.
Aww.
Right, right.
You know, we hit every single table, and I still have rulers and, you know, measures and pens.
Everybody's got a koozie. Every vendor
koozie.
In here has got a koozie.
Yeah.
And I want all of them.
There's 80 vendors here.
Nice.
Ooh, 80. Yeah.
80.
I got it. As soon as the show's
so,
over,
you know,
I'm
how long would it take you to go visit 80 separate vendors?
Right.
So, and we've got them all here under one roof.
Right. And if you don't have a pen, this is your place.
Yeah.
To get an ink pen. Yeah.
Yes. I mean,
you need
plenty
a pen.
Of pens.
There's plenty of pens. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we do. We've got some great vendors here today. We've got remodelers, insurance, brick suppliers,
house cleaners,
flooring,
sheds and
painters,
plumbing and
flooring. Yeah. yeah.
Stages yeah. magazine is here.
Yeah, our employees have already checked out those chairs, and they gave them a 10 out of 10.
Those are nice chairs.
Way to go, Stages.
Right.
Well, when we, like you said, Pam, when you're ready to grab your bag and go, what vendors are you most excited about today? What types of vendors do you and your line of work want to check out the most?
Well, me personally, I've got some tile work that needs to be done at my house. So
well, there you go.
I'm going to talk to some folks. I want to redo my bathroom flooring. So I'm going to talk to them about that. And then I've got a shower that I need redone, so I'll talk to them about that. You know, those types of things. Kind of, you know, you want to get your information. I call that fact-finding.
There you go.
You do your fact-finding, and then you do your fact-facing. So then you look at, okay, this is my budget. This is what I feel like I can do.
Right.
And I like doing that. I want to know, this year I'm going to do this, and Next year I'm going to do that. And this is a great place to kind of get all those ideas.
There you go.
Now, Pam, tell us how you're going to pay for that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Everyone knows how Pam's going to pay for that.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I talk about it all the time on the show. I have a bank account or a money market. And every month I have so much money going into that money market, and it's for nothing but home maintenance type things.
Pam is the one that reads the instructions.
Yeah, I read the manual.
Most of us throw them away.
Right.
That's the first thing you throw away. I don't need instructions. I'm smarter than that.
Yeah. Right, yeah. That's for other people.
Pam saves her money for home improvements, which is, I commend her.
Our home
maintenance,
or emergencies, like my AC went out last year. I had to get a, listen to this, folks. My house was a disaster last year.
Yes, right.
It was just crazy.
Of course it was.
But, you know, you got to deal with home maintenance stuff. I mean, if you're going to live in a house, that's what happens. And I had to get a roof. Then my air conditioner went out. Then my refrigerator went out. That was a bummer. It took me 3.5 months to get a refrigerator.
Wow.
Because I needed a specific size, and I'm a weirdo. I wanted a white one. I did not want stainless steel.
You are a weirdo for that.
I am a weirdo. So whenever they delivered it, the guys were hilarious. I finally get it. I'm like, oh, here it comes. They come running in the house and said, ma'am, did you order stainless steel? And I said, no, and if it's stainless steel, you got to take it back. And they were like, oh, thank God, it's white.
When the delivery guy thinks it's a mistake, that's how you know you're out of style.
Yeah, I'm out of style. I'm out of style. Well, I got a 1955 Merritt O'Keefe oven in my kitchen that I redid, and it's white.
I can guarantee she does, because I installed it.
He installed it, and it weighs, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Pammy won picking that up. It was very heavy. But I needed a refrigerator to match my stove.
Well, Pam, now that I know you've got this secret Swiss bank account you're over here bragging about, I don't feel nearly as bad for you that you had all that going on.
No, I had. I was able to write a check for all of it.
There you go.
Because I'd been saving all through these years.
You're not even real. Write a check.
Listen, I tell all my inspection clients, especially my new home buyers, go ahead and start doing this. And out of sight, out of mind, it's an automatic deduct every month.
Deduct.
Yeah. And they all nod at you and smile.
And smile.
Yeah, right. Yes, ma'am.
On their way to get the 55-inch TV, right.
Speaking of crazy expenses and home improvement journeys, Jason, you had to buy a new house pretty recently.
I did.
What did you look for when you were house shopping over there in Virginia?
I didn't look for anything. My wife said, here's your house.
Okay. Smart man.
That was smart.
Yeah,
that's a smart man.
Sure.
Are there any projects you're working on in that new place?
Man, there's a ton of them that I'm constantly working on. Actually, there was a leak in my kitchen that I have chased for the past 2 months. And finally, after pulling the entire kitchen floor up to try to find...
Is this a plumbing leak?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What it ended up being was a small nick, just a nick, on the silicone line that feeds the refrigerator water for ice.
Oh, boy.
And you couldn't look at it and see it.
Right.
But if you put your hand on it, your hand would eventually get wet.
Mm.
And you knew that it had a break in it somewhere.
Yep.
So I had to go fix all that. But now we're good. There's no water.
And Mama got new floors, sounds like.
Mama did get new floors.
Mama got new floors. That's
all that work and all that drama for a little scratch that big.
I mean, it literally could have been like pulled across the floor. It was nothing. It was nothing. You couldn't even see it.
Well, water ain't where water is, if you know what I mean.
Right, yeah.
If you've ever had problems with water, it's coming from somewhere you have no idea.
Oh, no, yeah. I started looking outside. I thought it was a foundation and landscaping issue. And I went and dealt with that. And I'm like, fixed.
Well, the hardest thing about finding a roof leak, your roof's on a pitch, of course. Typically, the roof leak is going to be around a penetration or a valley. Well, the water's going to run until it gets heavy enough to drip, which could be several feet
away
from the actual culprit.
Well, to that point, our kitchen, where I had the leak behind the fridge,
mm-hmm.
was 6 feet easily away from where the water had been pooling in the kitchen.
Right. Mm.
And therefore dripping underneath in the crawl space. I went in the crawl space and saw the drip and said, there it is. No, it's not.
Right.
No, it's not.
It's not. Right.
Yeah, and that tells me your house is crooked too, right?
Yeah, right.
That I mentioned is over 100 years old.
Yeah. Oh, you did that on purpose, so you would have some projects. Now, while we're waiting on your phone calls, the lovely Marissa has herself a microphone in our audience for anyone who would like to ask us some questions. So if you'll raise your hand if you have a question for the panel, we will happily bring you that microphone. Go ahead, Marissa. And if you're wondering who Marissa is, that's because she started this Monday. So welcome. Welcome, Marissa. Hi, ma'am. Tell us your name and tell us what your question is.
Yes, I'm Elaine from Madison.
Hi, Elaine.
I've been in my house going on 31 years now.
Oh, wow.
And I just had the foundation jacked for the third time.
Oh, boy.
You know, one of the I drew this short straw when I bought that house. But, you know, I'm committed now.
Yeah, yeah.
We're in a long-term relationship.
31 years, you're committed.
Yeah. Well, you know, I realized at this point I made the remark that when I moved in there, I was going to be there till they carried me out feet first. And it looks like that's the situation. So, They were wanting to come inside and put 10 additional pads in addition to the 5 that I had put in 2001. And I told the engineer, I'm not willing to do that. And he understood perfectly. That would have meant pack up, move out.
Oh, that's a big job.
That's a big job.
So we stabilized the exterior walls and put a couple of pads into a guest room, you know, just to keep the rafters from starting to get out of whack. So when you don't fix the inside, you don't have a perfectly level floor. And they explained to me, we're going to fix some issues and we're going to create some new ones. So now I'm dealing with collateral damage. So I've got cracks in the walls, you know, some other little things that can be fixed. I'm having contractors come in now and we have a divergence of opinion on how to fix this stuff. The cracks, some people say, you must cut out the sheetrock and replace that because that house is going to continue to move, which has been my lived experience. Those cracks are going to open again, also my lived experience. Others say, no, 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 just patch the cracks. Okay, the other thing, since I'm going to age in place, I'm going to tear out the tub in the master and the shower stall and put in a walk-in shower and build a linen closet where the little shower cabinet is. My thought is I'm not going to go in there with tile because that's the wall that moves the most. There's a marble surround around that tub that has a crack in it. I don't think tile is going to fare much better. But then I get, you know, contractors that don't want to fool with an insert. So they say, no, I only do tile. You're going to be fine. Tile's going to be fine. So there's a divergence of opinion there. So I guess that's the thing finally am getting to my question.
Okay.
Which of these is correct? Thank you.
Okay.
Jeff is the tiebreaker. That's what you're saying.
This is how I would handle it if I was in your home. I would give that foundation a few months to relax because they just put the piers in, correct? Okay. It wouldn't hurt. Maybe at the end of the summer, I think is when I would do the work on the inside, give it a chance to relax a little. I agree with your first statement. I think the sheetrock needs to be cut out. I don't like patching a crack. And we do a lot of that work to the shower. If the house is moving, I don't care what you put in there. It's if the house moves enough, it's going to fail. So, I'm not afraid of tile. Sterling makes a product that is panels. No, I'm sorry. Maybe it's Sterling. Anyway, there are manufacturers out there that make real nice custom panels that can be cut to fit. So, and did you say you're pulling the tub? Okay. Is it a 5 foot? Fine. Okay, so it's a five-foot tub. You can get a shower system that has a very small lip on it. Put the shower pan down and your three walls. And I would probably do panels instead of tile.
Instead of the tile.
And two, it's probably going to be less money.
Yeah.
I hope that answered the question.
Yeah.
It's not much less.
Yeah, I concur with all of that. I would wait. The only difference that I have with Jeff is that I would wait longer to do anything. And then just make sure the drainage on the outside of the house is okay. Because it's going to settle down. Mm-hmm. And you'll hear popping and cracking. And, you know, it can sound kind of scary. And, you know, I'm like you. I've been in my house 30 years as well. And I'll be sitting in my recliner watching TV, and I'll hear a pop, and I'm like, well, it's settling again, you know.
You know, drainage is a key. 10 feet out from your house, try to get 6 inches of fall.
Yeah, do you have gutters? Yeah, yeah, just make sure that they're all cleaned out and that, you know, that's what'll change it. And you mentioned the French drain, something that folks don't think about because it's out of sight, out of mind. The reason I don't like a French drain, and a lot of people are big advocates of them, is that I can't see it. I don't know what's in there. I don't know if a squirrel has, you know, created a nest. I don't know if the mulch has gone through the screening. I don't know if it's working right. And so if you've got them, something that you can do is stick a hose down in there and then go to the end and make sure the water's coming out. Because if it's not, that could be a big source of your problem. If it's extensive, you can get a plumber with a camera to scope those lines for you just to make sure that they're still open. Because if you put it in, I mean, what's the shelf life on a French drain, Jeff? They're plastic with the screening. And that screening it's biodegradable.
The only way I'm going to do a drain around my house is if I have to. I want to do surface water. I want to move water on top.
On top. That's one of the things he and I agree on, is I want to be able to see the water that's going around my house. So,
well, at least we have one thing.
We got one thing. Don't talk about gutter install, because that's going to
She's wrong.
Yeah.
I can't help it.
Well, thank you so much.
I don't know
much
how many times
I've
told her she was wrong.
Thank you so much for your question this morning. We do have a phone call. We've got Oliver in Olive Branch. That's awesome. Oliver, you are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Pam Harris and Jeff Simon. Listen.
Jeff Salmon.
My question is, in my kitchen, I do not have a vent. How do I vent that kitchen?
Did you say a vent?
A vent for, oh, like over your range, over your cooking range?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Is there a reason that you don't have a vent hood?
No, it's got the electric stove, and it was not one in there when I moved in.
Okay, is this a single story?
No, it's a two-story.
So there's a room above the kitchen.
Yes.
Okay. I've got the exact same situation in my kitchen. Just you're going to have to go out the sidewall. Hopefully the cooking surface is on an exterior wall.
Oh, no, it's in the center of the room, like an island.
It's in the center of the room, even better.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Slab on grade or conventional?
It's a conventional.
Oh, now we're talking. We could go underneath.
Yeah, you could put a downdraft on it.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of that. Let me tell you what the simplest thing you can do. Just put in a ceiling fan. Seriously. I mean, if you've got an electric range, what you're dealing with, cooking byproducts are nasty, folks. I mean, it's just nasty. So if you can dissipate that, most of the issues that I see are from frying the bacon. Or boiling an egg, you know, because you get that water vapor. If you can dry that up, a ceiling fan will help with that. If you want to spend the money, you could do a downdraft. The problem with those is that I just don't think they operate real well. If you get one, the best ones, and Jeff helped me with this, you know, they pop up in the back.
Right. Yep.
Instead of just laying flat. So if it pops up in the back, that's really better. But then you got a movable part. I can't tell you how many home inspections I've done, and I go hit the button, and it won't come up because it's disgusting, because it's got all the cooking byproducts on it. So there's a couple of options for you there.
You could do that. You could run to the ceiling, go through the floor joists. You could build a chase.
A chase, yeah.
And come out the side. You have several options.
But don't do this, man. I went down and saw, I had a house down in, oh, man, I can't even remember the name of it. Anyway, they put a bathroom fan over their range. Yeah, you can't do that.
No, typically not.
No, it's going to melt the ceiling, the little doohickey up there. So put your doohickey cruddy, and it's going to get real cruddy up there on the ceiling, sucking all that cooking byproduct up in it. So
that's gross, man.
I know it is. It's, listen, I'm telling you, people that don't use, and you know why they don't use their fans? I'm asking that. You know why you don't use your cooking fan? Because you can't hear the TV when it's on.
Thank you, Oliver, for your call. We hope we helped you out today. I think we had another in-house question somewhere around here. Do we have another in-house? Go ahead, sir. Tell us your name and what your question is.
Hi, my name is Brian Ballman.
Hi, Brian.
Yeah, this is for Jeff. I've got a question. I've got a water heater that's pushing 18 years old.
Okay.
It's up in the attic. And I've changed out water heaters in the past, but in the older houses, they're always down on the bottom floor. This
yep.
one's in the attics.
Right.
Not only that, it's about a half an inch wider than my attic door.
That's right.
Now, how do we get that sucker out?
Well, that's an excellent question. And I don't have a good answer because you're going to have to widen the old one should come down the pull down. The problem's going to be getting the new one in, right?
Either way.
Yeah. No, the old one will come out.
Will probably come out.
Drain it, get the old one out, and I would go tankless. Yep. Have you got natural gas?
Yes, I do.
I'm doing tankless.
Tankless, 100%.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going tankless, and then I'm not worrying about it.
Just make sure, you know, whenever they come back, you've got the things you got to think about if you go tankless or retrofit, size of the gas line. It's got to be a certain size. The placement, well, you should have gas supplies. Is it a gas water heater?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Oh, perfect.
And then you want to make sure that they put a bucket pan underneath it and not a regular water heater pan, because the old metal water heater pans that are, and the difference is that the metal water heater pan that a tanked unit goes in,
right,
that's $10. The bucket pan is $75. That's the difference. And the bucket pan is deep enough that, because whenever your tankless water heater starts leaking, those lines are pressurized, you're going to get a lot of water. It's like a Mississippi spring storm. There's a ton of water coming down at once. And if it goes into that tiny little pan, you're going to have a rainstorm in your, wherever it is. But if you put a bucket pan underneath it, and that's the big thing I see on these retrofits, but, you know, it'd be easy to get a tankless unit up there.
That's right.
Yeah.
Piece of cake.
That's right.
Big Sam, I was looking at that, the distance. I don't know what crack they were smoking, but when they put that thing in there and then they put the smaller
right.
Ladder in there. So
I know. That's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
chicken egg.
Unfortunately, that now in all of our new homes, I've got another alternative. Y'all live in Madison?
Negative. I live over here off of old Burnham Road.
Yeah. Okay. I've got a lot of new homes in Madison if you want to move. Just saying.
Just saying. And they're all tankless, right?
They're all tankless.
Yeah. My favorite thing is tankless on the outside. If I were going to, and that's what I did in my house. I went from, my house was built in 58, so it's old. And whenever I got ready to redo it, I took my water heater, which happened to be on an outside wall, and I just had them hang the tankless on the outside wall. Now I don't have to worry about it if it leaks or whatever. It's, you know.
And you could do that.
You can do that.
You could put it on outside.
It's just a matter of they'll extend those lines with PEX and then wherever the gas line is.
Yeah, we've also got, like, you know, home covenants and stuff you've got to abide by.
Yeah.
So that'd be another issue. But thanks.
Sure.
All right. Thank you, Brian, for your question. Lacey Alexander, Pam Pybus, Jeff Salmons. We had Jason earlier. We are just having a lot of fun this morning. And two people that I have yet to recognize, Mr. Java Chatman is on our Conrex today. And then please, 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 for the young man that is at our studio this early in the morning on a Saturday, please give it up for Abram Nanny. He is running phone calls for us. Go, Abram. Take a bow wherever you are, Abram. So let's go ahead and start this next segment. We do have Kathleen and Osaika on the line. Kathleen, thank you for waiting so patiently. You are on the air with us. Good morning, Kathleen.
Well, I'm retired and disabled, so I got plenty of time to wait.
Come on, Kathleen.
Listen, I've got some funny stuff, and this one, this is in memory of or dedicated to Jason, because he always said, "Oh, you always call and give us something out of back burner," you know. Well, a simple thing, it won't solve all the problems, but it'll surely help out. Buy one of those splatter screens. It's round like a plate, it's covered with screen, it's got a handle. And what it does is it stops the splatters. So you got a good amount of it staying away from your thing.
Right.
So it sounds like you need a splatter screen, Pam. That's what Kathleen's trying to tell you.
Well, no, I've got a vent over my range, so I'm good. And I use it. I just turn the TV up.
You can do
Kathleen,
that.
Kathleen, you got a splatter screen?
Yes, I do. In fact, I've got two.
There you go. So she can change them out when one gets dirty.
She's double screening. She's double screening.
Well, Kathleen, thank you for that beautiful advice. We hope you're keeping your kitchen clean this morning. Oh, by the way, so you see we've got our beautiful setup behind us, and you'll also notice we've got a beautiful Gestalt gardener behind us. Felder Rushing is going to do a presentation today in that space at 10:30. You'll notice he's got some chairs up there. He wants y'all to sit with him so he can talk about plants. So when Felder, he will be here at 10:30. If you are still in the building at that time, please go check out Felder. Please go give him some love and some support and hear his little TED talk as it is. Yeah. All right. Now, I do have some email questions, but before I do that, do we have any more audience questions? I just want to make sure. Oh, we have a young lady in the back. Go ahead and give us your name and your question, ma'am.
Yeah, my name's Misty.
Hi, Misty.
Thank you.
I've got a question about insulation and whether or not I can have it or not.
Okay.
I have a two-story townhome shaped like a milk carton, and on the front of the first story, it juts out a little bit with a roof, and that's my living room. That part is not insulated. I'm getting a new roof.
Okay.
And I'm adding insulation to the top, and I'm wondering if I can add it there or if it was not added on purpose because there's no ventilation on the outside, like under the, is it
soffit,
fascia?
Your soffit,
yes.
Yeah.
There's no venting there. So would that cause moisture buildup, and that's something I should not do?
Well, you're getting a new roof. Yeah. When you get the new roof, you need to put the venting in. So you want to put in a box vent at the top of that edge, you know, because it's just a small roof that's coming off, right? Yeah, it needs to be vented. And because it's not vented, you're holding a lot of heat that is then transferred down in the living area.
So the roofing guys do the box vent?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'll talk to them about that first and then.
And if you do that, now I'm thinking, check me on this, all right? So you don't have any insulation in mm-hmm. that area. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you know that it's not there because
you did my inspection and you did a thermal scan.
And there was nothing there.
Okay.
Because
you get to that attic?
No. So this is what you could do. If she's going to put in a new roof and have a box vent put on, now you've cut a hole for the box vent. You could hire an insulation company that could blow the insulation down in
there. I've already talked to them. They're going to coordinate and blow it in from
perfect.
The top.
There you go.
The
absolutely.
So just vent it.
Yeah. Just put box vents. And then you could have them. I can't remember if you had soffits underneath there.
I looked this morning. There's nothing there.
There's not any. Well, there's not. A soffit or there's not a soffit vent? I can't remember.
I saw no vent. I don't know.
Yeah,
like
they can
an
add those
vent.
Vents. Your roofer might be able to.
It needs to be vented.
At the bottom and the
and
top.
And the top. It's like taking a breath and you could never blow it out.
Right.
So you have a soffit vent and you have either a continuous ridge vent or a turtle vent or, you know, some sort of venting. So it does that.
Yeah. The top's vented, like the second story, but this little part's
part
not
isn't.
Connected
yeah.
to that.
Yeah.
Somehow that needs to be vented, and it's hard to see on the radio.
I remember it. I remember it's a townhouse. Yeah. So, yeah, you want the box venting at the top, and you can put one or two. If you did two, it'd be ideal because now the insulation company can get to both ends.
Okay.
you know, and they'll just blow it down, you know, down in that area for you, and then you're good to go.
Awesome. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you, Misty. Does Pam ever sound like to y'all like a Southern Baptist preacher just up here, like getting passionate about all this stuff?
I love what I do, y'all. I just love it. I mean, I really, I enjoy it. And I love being validated.
Is Jeff's agreement validating?
Yes, it is. When Jeff and I agree, I'm like, I feel so good.
How often does that happen, though?
Not much. Not a lot. No, we pretty much on the same page on a lot of most of the important stuff. That's we really are.
Well, there you go. How about we take an email question real quick? This is from Liz. I have a 90-year-old cottage that is very cold during the winter. It's located in Fairhope, Alabama. I got a reasonable quote for 2-inch closed cell foam, but I'm not sure about this product on an old house. She had fiberglass installed and it fell within a year. What is your advice to Liz in Fairhope?
Well, I solved Liz's problem, actually.
You did?
Yeah, Liz and I have been in touch. Hey, Liz down in Fairhope. I went down because she was concerned. They came in and quoted closed cell foam underneath it to try to solve the air infiltration issues.
Did it work?
No, that was a bad idea.
Okay. You know. Tell us why. Educate us on why that was a bad idea. Apparently.
Well, there was a 90-year-old cottage. Okay, here you go, Jeff. 90-year-old cottage with the old windows with the pulleys on the side. Mm-hmm. So I took my thermal camera in there, and then they took the return and put the return right next to the front door that wasn't weather stripped. So, and it was cold whenever I was down there. And so we turned the heat on, and my thermal camera just showed it sucking all this cold air from outside into the house. You were asking the air conditioning system to condition the air that was on the outside. Sealing is what you got to do, especially in these older properties, is you got to look at, and then the registers weren't sealed. And, you know, I like foam in certain situations, but it's not a one fix for everyone, you know. So you really want to investigate. And I gave them some solutions, like they want the windows. They want to keep the, they don't want new windows. They want the old windows. It's got that cool kind of, you know, the glass, when you look through it, you kind of gets warped a little bit. So they wanted those. So my suggestion was caulk the windows shut, knock the pulleys in, add some insulation in there, seal that up. Put some weather stripping on the door, seal up some other things. And she was going to do that report back to me to let me know.
Yeah. Did you get a report back?
I haven't yet. No, listen, stuff takes time.
There's a reason you buy a 90-year-old home. You buy it because you like it.
Because of the character.
Right. Yeah. So along with that, you're going to have some things. And I don't care how well the 90-year-old home was built. 90 years ago, we did things different than we do today.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have some, I call it character, some things that you may have to live with.
Labor of love.
But there are things you can do, like Pam has suggested. Another thing you can do is get in the attic if you can, because a lot of these older homes have very limited access. But if you could seal up the top plate, that's where all your penetrations, your wires, your plumbing, all that stuff goes through. If you could seal that, that will also help.
Yeah, and I talked to her about that. They had gone in and blown in fiberglass, and it was probably, I'm telling you, it was like 2 feet deep. It was like swimming when I got up there.
Yeah.
And I was like, you can move that stuff aside and seal up all those penetrations. You have to be careful when you do that, though. When you put that foam on a dusty surface, it doesn't stick. It kind of peels itself right off. So I told them to get up there, move that stuff, and clean around the registers, and then seal up around the registers. And the thing about old houses, is that the attic access, once you get through the crazy little scuttle hole, which I think are a product of the devil, is a scuttle hole. I hate those things.
I agree.
And man, you ain't getting in a whole lot of them, are you, Jeff? And I can barely,
about me personally?
You personally.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Time out. Flag on the play. Go back 10 yards.
Yes.
We need a
replay on
that. Don't hurt my friend Jeff's feelings.
I mean, a scuttle hole is a piece of wood that's laying on your ceiling. And you got to put the ladder up, move. It's dangerous.
It really is.
It's dangerous. And I had one Jeff, in a house that was only 7 years old, and they put a scuttle hole in the master closet, And it was one of it was the size of a regular access door. And I was like, oh, please, God, don't let me fall. Trying to. That's why I have my Apple Watch. So if I fall, it calls 911.
Now I've fallen and I can't get up.
And I cannot get up.
On that note, let's remember what the attic is designed for. It is not designed to store the Christmas tree and the lights. It's not designed for that. It is designed for the mechanical, your heat and air system. We put our wiring there. It is not designed to see how much stuff we can put up there and then forget about it.
Yeah, because when grandma dies, that's where it's all going.
That's right.
Is up in that attic.
It is not a storage room.
And this is no rerun, folks. We are live at the home show in Pearl. They open in 10 minutes. Jermaine's already got a bag full of stuff. She has already been shopping.
She's already started.
Jeff, I think you got a buddy.
Hey, Carlos, come up here. I want to talk to you. Carlos is working hard over there on his booth. Name of his company is Kitchen Tune-Up.
Good morning.
Carlos Lloyd, everybody.
Good morning.
Tell us what a kitchen tune-up will do.
Oh, okay. So kitchen tune-up, we offer 5 different services, right? So we do wood restoration. So if you have a wood species for your cabinetry that you like that's aged over the years, we'll restore it. We'll recondition that and bring it back to like 95% of what it was when you first put it in. We also do cabinet redooring and cabinet refacing. So if your cabinet boxes are in good shape, you don't have to rip all of them out, right? We'll come in and put concealed hinge doors on them, a new style, new upgrade, and a new door style. So if you want a raised panel or a shaker or a slab front, we offer that as well. And then we do refacing. If you have a solid color, you want to go back to a wood grain, we'll put new doors on, and then we'll put veneer and panels on the boxes. Again, saving the boxes, not sending those to a landfill, right? Not dealing with the cost of a total remodel and the time and dust and everything that comes with that, right? So we can save that time and money for you. Then we do cabinet painting. Cabinet boxes are in good shape. You like your cabinet doors. They look good. You like that style, but you want a different color. We'll come in and paint your cabinetry for you as well. And then last but not least, for sure, if you're just tired of it, it's wore out, you want a new thing, we'll tear it all out.
Drag it out of there.
Custom rebuild for
you. Come
on. So, yeah, so 5 different services, 5 different budget levels, right?
The master of the elevator pitch, Carlos Lloyd.
Thank you.
And, hey, I've witnessed his work. It is quality.
Aww.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. Yeah. I'll pay you later for that, man. Thanks.
Carlos, tell us, educate us on why events like these are important for businesses like yours.
Yeah, it's just an opportunity for us. Like, so Kitchen Tune-Up is a national franchise. So I bought the territory, Jackson metro area, 5 years ago, right? So it's a great opportunity for people in the community, my neighbors, my friends, people I don't know, to actually come out and get to know us, to meet us, to know who's putting your product in, who's installing your product, where your product is coming from, right? Because we believe community is key, right? And we believe in buy local, right? Buy local if you can support it. So it's not and I'm not against them. They have their benefits. We're not big box. You know who's coming into your home. You know what you're getting, right? There's no surprises. We communicate up front. So we think events like this give us an opportunity to introduce ourselves, speak with homeowners or prospects, and provide a great service that and you know what you're getting and who you're getting it from, because we live and work here.
Yeah, that's awesome, because, you know, we families stay in Mississippi. Like, people will always say, why do you live in Mississippi? Well, my mama, my grandmama, my great grandmama lived here.
That's right.
So when you offer a service to preserve older things that may have belonged to those people in your family, that's huge for Mississippi.
That's right. And we hear it all the time. We got this, but we got these cabinets from grandmom, or we got this particular pantry from grandmom, and we don't want to throw it out. We want to keep it, right? So we'll come in and we'll tune it up. And sometimes they will say, I want to keep it. Let's paint it. We'll even paint it, right? But those sentimental things we believe there's value there, and we provide that service.
I stay in Mississippi because it's the only place people understand what I say.
That's perfectly okay.
I travel up north and they go, again?
Right.
What?
We're a Mississippi company, so we're home base, right? So I grew up here in Jackson, right? So I've been in Mississippi my whole life. worked all around the state. So yeah, we're home based, and right now we're based out of Madison, so we're in the Madison area. But again, we support the entire Jackson metro area, right?
So Carlos can understand your accent, Pam. Rest assured, he has plenty of experience.
Yeah, and you know, it just takes a lot of stress off when people know what you're saying, really.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Now, Jeff, you called Carlos up here pretty confidently. Tell me how you know Carlos.
I've known Carlos for several years. Of course, I have a remodeling company, and Carlos does remodeling, but we are not in direct competition. If you're going to call my company, I'm ripping the entire kitchen out.
He don't mess with that old stuff.
So if you want to do what his five options were, then that's the right. And you know, I've told my customers this for 20 plus years. Interview your contractor. It's a marriage. It really is. It's a short-term marriage, not only on the contractor, but with the customer. Because I'm going to interview the customer the same time the customer's interviewing me. And if we can't get along, I'm going to politely bow out.
Amen. So, I love it.
And it's a two-way road. It really is. So, but yeah, Carlos is a good guy, a great company.
Carlos has the Jeff Salmon seal of approval. Thank you, Carlos.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming up.
Thank you. Good to see you all. Thank
you. All right. Point to your booth, Carlos, so people know where to find
you. We're in the corner. Booth number 10, right here on the corner.
Booth number 10.
Booth number 10.
Right on the corner.
That's right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. Appreciate it.
We've only got 2 minutes left, folks. Pam, Jeff, where are we going first?
Hurry up, Pam.
I don't know. I'm going to grab my bag and get to going. Where's the bags is what I want to know. That's the first place I'm going, and I'm gonna walk around and start talking to folks.
You better start following Jermaine because she was ready to go.
Yeah, Jermaine, where's Jermaine? Look,
show them where the bags are. Show them where the bags are, Jermaine.
She's hanging out at stages now in a recliner. I may have to boot her out of there so I can.
I think we have food vendors too, don't we?
Yeah,
there are food vendors here.
Food vendors outside. Okay.
Yeah, y'all come on down and visit. So it's gonna be a fun weekend. We've got food.
We got Felder coming. And we're going to do the same thing tomorrow, ain't we? Not this show, but the event is going to be here tomorrow
The event will be here tomorrow. I think it opens up maybe after church.
I think it's at 10, right?
Oh, is it? Okay.
Is it both days?
Got early church.
Early service. Then.
Come on down here.
Okay. Well, we've got 1 minute left. Before we go, let's give one more hand to our live audience. Thank you guys
Thank you for coming out, folks.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Pam. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Carlos. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Java. Thank you, Abram. Thank you to Jermaine for showing us all the fun stuff she got.
You know, I think we've thanked everybody but Lacey.
Thank you, Lacey.
Thank you, Lacey.
Fix It 101 is a production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting Think Radio and is funded by generous contributions from listeners like you. Our call screener and board off was Abram Nanny. For Pam Pybus, Jeff Salmons, I'm your producer, Lacey Alexander. Join us Wednesday at 9 for another Fix It 101 only on MPB Think Radio.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.